Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
To convince a child to keep walking, try switching roles with them. Let the child play the role of the parent. They'll immediately do what you want them to do.
You are raising in your home people that the Bible is very clear about their status. They need to be converted, not just a conformity of their behavior. They need a transforming encounter with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the ultimate priority.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hey!
Boom! This is Wretched Radio bringing you the latest in celebrity entertainment informational news.
Wow.
From a Christian perspective, why not?
Take a breath and try some more.
Other radio programs give that a run. These aren't just any celebrity news stories. No siree, Bob. We're bringing you Christian celebrity news. There is an entertainment segment of evangelicalism. It has been, well, flourishing, for better or for worse, for decades now. It has grown to be very substantial, whether it's Christian music, whether it's Christian TV, this thing right here, Christian radio. There is a big evangelical Christian entertainment segment. And so there's sometimes a lot of news. The question is, should we always be commenting on that news? I say the answer is, depends on what your objective is. If your desire is to build up, if it is to edify, if it is to grow, if it is to teach, if it is to warn, sure. But if it's to simply participate in celebrity gossip, nah, that doesn't help anything or anyone. Don't we see that when we check out at the grocery store, the news racks? What was the story? I was just at the grocery store and saw the headline for the big story. Oh, Chip and Joanna Gaines. They're in the news. Apparently, they're having their sixth baby. Apparently, we could learn if we bought the magazine or just paged through it at the grocery store, the three things that Chip said that saved their marriage, or the three promises he made, or something like that. And people love that. And we're not excluded. And if we're not careful, we'll fall into that same trap, man, and we'll participate in celebrity gossip. Even if it's in the evangelical world, that doesn't always make it sanctified. There is no sanctified gossip, is there? It's just gossip. So let's see if we can tackle some stories in evangelical celebrity land without sinning. Hey, did you see the story about the famous guy who had to confess that he hasn't been behaving like a Christian and there's a lot of people upset with him? Yeah, that one. Here's my commentary.
Very insightful.
I got nothing for you. I've got nothing for you. Most likely you know about this celebrity in evangelical Christianity who has had to confess that he has been behaving very poorly. Am I disclosing the details? Well, I could, because this is probably a story that meets the bar of discernment that you should be able to jump over, that says, I'm not propagating gossip. I'm trying to talk about it for the sake of helping. That's a rule of discernment we so often forget, isn't it? Are you actually talking about something with an eye on trying to help? Or are you actually just fanning the flames? Oh, I didn't know about that. Tell me about that. This story is probably widespread enough that we wouldn't be fanning the flames. Nevertheless, I'm going to try to stay on the right side of the line. But the other high hurdle that we have to jump over is, can we say something? Can I say something that is beneficial, that is helpful? And the answer in this particular scandal is, I got nothing for you. I can't think of anything to say that would shed some light on this story that would be edifying or beneficial. So let's move on to our next story, shall we? All right, there's one observation I would make about this particular story of a fellow who's famous in evangelical Christianity. Apparently he was behaving poorly. I will say this, if you read his confession, Why wouldn't we just accept it and say, all righty, now what's going to happen in his life from henceforth? I don't know, but let's find We'll find that out as time progresses. Hopefully, he goes underneath the authority of a sound local church, deals with these issues, deals with appropriate repentance. And what he does for a living after that, that's none of my speculation. How do I know what's going to happen to the fellow? I don't know. You just pray the best for him because you don't want to see anybody dealing with these issues so publicly, and you just hope that the right thing happens and that it's dealt with on the local level, not on the national evangelical gossip level. So that's all I got for you. Story number two. Don't know if you read this. Francis Chan, preaching at, I believe he was at Azusa Pacific University. He's decided to become a missionary in Myanmar. He's moving to Asia, and he is going to become a missionary there. I got nothing for you. I got nothing. I know people are commenting on it. I know that people are making speculations. Some people are making snide remarks. I got nothing. So I'm not going to say anything about it because it doesn't require or demand a comment from all of us all the time. If we cannot contribute in some sort of way that is helpful or that is enlightening, it doesn't need to be said. And let's just say, for instance, there's an evangelical celebrity who has done something, good, bad, or otherwise, and everybody's saying something about it, a specific thing. I don't need to add to that. I don't need to just say it for the sake of saying it. I don't even need to contribute in that way. I think gossip is an overlooked sin that I think we're probably a little bit too casual about in evangelical Christianity. And James, throughout his book, every chapter of James deals with the tongue, this little rascal that makes a mess. It can set a forest on fire with a word. And we need to be careful and fall on the right side of the line so that we don't start a fire. And I just fear that all too often in evangelical celebrity circles, the gossips that happen out there in with the Twitter sphere, with the stories and the postings and the blogs, it's not helpful. Look, this whole evangelical celebrity thing, it's fraught with danger from the get-go. It has pros. It definitely has cons. And I wonder if some of these cons could be eliminated if we maybe didn't use some of these stories for fodder and set these people up as speed bags. Story number three. Former pastor Joshua Harris says he's excommunicated himself after announcing faith. You know this story. This is the young man who wrote I Kiss Dating Goodbye, was at the age of, I think, 19, maybe 20, was elevated to prominence in the evangelical celebrity world. He was made a pastor, lickety-split. He didn't have any formal training. And then, as the years went by, we suddenly started to see signs, what's going on in Josh's world? And then not too far long after that, he announced, my wife and I are divorcing, we're uncoupling, whatever the terminology is. Oh, and by the way, I'm no longer a Christian. That was a bomb, wasn't it? Another evangelical celebrity bites the dust. That's one of the perils of evangelical celebrityism. Now, I'm not saying throw out the baby with the bathwater, but we need to be aware that's some of the danger of having people and ministries that have big reaches and impacts. When one of those guys takes a tumble, gulp, it causes a lot of confusion. So now, doing an interview, he states that he is excommunicated himself. If I could, because I think this is a worthwhile comment, you can't do that. And I see that trend so often in evangelical Christianity. Maybe somebody isn't a member of a church. I think that's a problem. You can't be excommunicated if you're not a member. You just leave. You're caught in sin. Your soul's in danger. People want to try to rescue you, but they can't because the mechanism that is provided for us in Matthew 18 doesn't exist, so they can't use that to save the person from him or herself. That is a shame. But also in evangelical Christianity, excommunication is so rarely employed. Look, we don't want to have to be doing it every week. Something's probably wrong on the other end of the spectrum, but there's so little excommunication. And now he's excommunicating himself? You can't do that, Josh. And whoever his church was should be the ones who actually do that. I would simply ask, is your church high on church discipline? The reformers would say a church that never disciplines is not a church. It would be one of the legs of the stool that holds up an evangelical church. No discipline, no church. One last non-comment about Josh. He said things in this interview that are causing people to speculate about his sexuality. Here's my comment on that. Josh has much bigger problems than his sexuality. His soul is dangling over a precipice that is awfully hot and awfully eternal. That should be my concern, far more than his sexual proclivity. We hope you enjoyed Entertainment News here on Wretched Radio.
Thanks for listening today. Always glad when you join us at Wretched Radio. We are very grateful that you are already giving away our gospel booklets like Don't Stub Your Toe and What Time Is Purple. Why not add Are You a Rotten Fish to your arsenal? Think about it. Are You a Rotten Fish is a detailed presentation on true and false conversion. Jesus preached about it. You know, there were the wheat and the tares, the foolish and wise virgins, the good fish and rotten fish. Are You a Rotten Fish? A nifty booklet to give away to college students off at school or your youth group at church. Visit wretched.org/fish and you can read the booklet for yourself. Download it right there, check it out, and then get your copies to give away. wretched.org/fish. Are You a Rotten Fish will give you a great compare and contrast the true gospel versus the false gospels. Get your copies at wretched.org/fish. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
When you sponsor a Tomorrow Club for $30 per month in Eastern Europe, you are writing stories like this.
Vova and Maxim, one is 11, another 13, they're brothers. Both of them smoke like crazy, so when they joined Tomorrow Club, they would just make noise and kick other kids around. That winter, the father left the whole family without wood for the furnace, so they could freeze to death, and without food. So the leaders came and actually brought the wood to the family and fixed the things that they were broken in the home. So the boys saw what happened. They got saved, and the change in their attitude and behavior is just immense.
$30 per month. You'll be discipling 30 Eastern European kids in far-flung and very poor villages in Eastern Europe and so much more. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Thanks very much to the generosity of our monthly gospel partners. Now, if you watch or listen to Wretched on a regular basis, would you consider becoming a gospel partner? See, our content, what we do, is only available because of the generous support of our gospel partners. Thanks to them, you can find full Wretched radio and TV episodes at the home of all things Wretched, wretched.org, among many other free resources. You see, without our gospel partners, there is no Wretched. So, if you enjoy watching or listening to Wretched and would like to continue to do so, consider please becoming a Wretched monthly gospel partner. Visit wretched.org/donate for all the details. And please know that we will be faithful stewards of your money. Right now, 83% of every dollar goes to ministry work. Consider becoming a gospel partner. Go to wretched.org/donate. Sometimes simple is best. The Mission Ball is simply a soccer ball covered with biblical text, a thorough long gospel presentation, and an effective tool for drawing a crowd, making a connection with people, inviting curiosity, and ultimately creating opportunities to proclaim Christ. With your support, the Mission Ball can get into the hands of more lost and dying souls. Go to themissionball.org. That's themissionball.org.
Books of the Bible. The prophet Jeremiah preached judgment and repentance to Judah for more than 40 years. He was mocked, beaten, and imprisoned. But in the end, God's judgment came upon Judah. When you hold fast to the word of God, you will be heartbroken, mocked, and even persecuted. But let Jeremiah remind you that every word of God will prove true. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Am I 2 for 2?
Jesus Christ the Lord.
This is Wretched Radio. Struggling with this call that I actually don't have, I'd sing it for you. Friel, that wouldn't be a blessing. Let's get to church news, shall we?
Wait, almost... so you have trouble singing the bass line when you have a cold? That seems counterintuitive.
No, Joey, I just have trouble singing. Okay?
Yeah, okay.
Full stop.
I sound amazing. Speaking of church news, I don't know at what website Mrs. Friel was at last night. She was talking about a pastor in a local church. I don't know who it is, and we don't go picking on pastors in local churches. But this fellow decided, the sermon series was based on Aladdin, you know, the theological treasures that exist in that Disney film. And he dressed up, I think, as Aladdin, and he sang a song. It had something to do with Jesus. It was an Aladdin song, but, you know, changed the lyrics. If I notice you're a bad singer, you're a really bad singer, because I'm a horrible singer. So when I notice it's like, you got troubles, because I sound amazing in a car. I don't know if you do, too, when you're alone. Do you sound amazing when you're in the car singing by yourself? I hit every single note. It's crazy. But then... I don't know if you've ever done this. You've been singing along, jamming. You're in good voice. You drive underneath like one of those tunnels that exist like in New York or some cities have that, or like those mountain tunnels. And the static knocks off the radio and you can actually hear yourself singing. Woo! Apparently this pastor never did that because he would have known, dude, shouldn't be singing on a stage dressed up like Aladdin. During the church service. I mean, the bad singing was the least of the problems with that. That to me was pragmatism magnified. That just exemplified. I'm going to be contemporary. I'm going to be cool. And then the world will like us and they'll keep coming to church. That's just not the way it ought to be. In fact, speaking of that, there was an article that was sent to me at idea@wretched.org. It was from a website that tells you how to do church so that the seats, yeah, here it is right here, so that the seats stay full. Here's the headline. It used to work so well. This is from a church leadership website. So this is a place where pastors go to figure out how to keep churches full. Here's the lead. It is one of the paradoxes of success, says Charles Handy. Joey, would you Google Charles Handy? Wasn't he either like a slick salesman or am I thinking of the composer Handy? And then find out who Charles Handy is. He's the opening quote of this
Irish author, philosopher specializing in organizational behavior and management.
There it is, right there. He should be coming to the church to see how things work, not vice versa. Here's the quote. It's one of the paradoxes of success, that the things and ways which you got there are seldom those things that will keep you there. So his contention is, if you don't keep up with the times, daddy-o, you're going to fall out of favor and you're not going to be in business for long. So this church leadership journal said that is also therefore true for the church. No, that's also true for the church if you see it as a business model whose goal is to get as many people into the pews or reclining chairs as possible. Is that the goal of the church? No, it's not even close. Quoting the great author, leadership author, Max Dupree, he wrote, "Success is fragile like a butterfly. We usually crush the life out of it in our efforts to possess it." So you try to hang, you figured it out, Pastor. You discovered that the Aladdin song, boy, that packed them in. So what do? Oh, you got to keep them coming. So I'm going to keep doing the Aladdin thing. And here's what happens. It grows stale, and then people leave, and you won't be successful anymore. And then you just keep trying to do it, saying, well, it used to work so well. What is going on with Pastor Aladdin and this leadership journal? It is a horrid ecclesiology. If our churches are governed by how full they are, we are going to make pragmatic decisions that lead to a fellow dressing up in an Aladdin costume, calling himself a pastor, singing a solo that he has no right singing, because he's trying to do things that are successes based on worldly models, but not the church. Who writes the rules of the church? To whom does this church belong? What is the point of this church? I wonder how many of these super groovy, inventive pastors even ponder ecclesiology before they do shenanigans like that. Probably not much. They've bought into the pragmatic church growth, seeker-sensitive. The most important thing we can do is have a big church. That is what is successful. And boy, does that feed the flesh, doesn't it? More from the article. This is pragmatism defined. And we've got to ask ourselves the question, who defines what the church is? Who writes the rules for this thing? Who are we trying to please? This would have to be exhausting if you ask me. We all know of congregations that have been strong and vital, yet they continue to do those things that brought earlier success without attending to all the changes around them. The wisest approach is for churches to stay in dynamic interaction with its constituencies and environment, with those inside the church and outside. So you go pull the pagans. What do the goats want? So you can bring goats in amongst the sheep. That's what this is. New church plants are far more attuned to what is going on in the community and who the unchurched are than the leaders of existing congregations. You've lost your edge, established church. So you must find ways to monitor the pulse of the community, not the pulse of Jesus, not the pulse of the Bible, the world. So they know when the old ways no longer carry the power they once did. This is building the church on methods. This is building the church pragmatically. The temptation, when old ways no longer produce these same results, is to play the old notes louder and louder, thus producing caricatures instead of adaptation. Previous strength becomes the source of demise. Wouldn't your time be better spent studying your Bible? What does Jesus want the church to be? And then going with that formula, and you will be a success even if you have to close the doors because nobody shows up. Because the audience is not the world. The one that we are trying to please are not the lost. We want the lost to be found. But that's not the purpose of the church, and it's certainly not a Disney knockoff center to amuse people, tickle their ears, and to sing ear-cringingly painful solos. We need to know what Jesus wants from the church. What does he want? He wants the word proclaimed. He wants to be exalted there. He wants his people to be fed there. He wants them to be equipped there. And we do shenanigans like an Aladdin show. It crushes me because I know that people out there are crushed. I get a tip of the iceberg glimpse into the pains of the world. Within the last 24 hours, I can tell you emails that we're a radio and a TV ministry.
We're not the local church. Can you imagine what confronts your pastor? And just the face-to-face ministry work that is so crucial and imperative. And so I just get grazed by it, if you will, because I just see a tip of the iceberg. Beep. A woman diagnosed with cancer, given 9 months, but she's now survived 3 years. But her husband has left her, and she's now living like in a car, if I recall. In the car, because I think the trailer that she was living in went up in flames. So she can't get to church, so it's the internet. It becomes her church family. And she's wondering if she's really saved, because she's looking at herself like Job and wondering, why, what's going on? I'm so confused. And she can't get to a church to be comforted and helped and aided by that body. And that's a tip of the iceberg. The number of people, I think it would shock all of us if we knew how many people were dealing with the deep, unhealed scars of child abuse, of every wicked form. And we've got people polling the pagans to say, what do you want the church to become so we can amuse you, grow you, and then brag about our statistical growth? This article and that Aladdin solo, for more than one reason, should break our hearts. This is Wretched Radio.
SOS Ministries wants to see a movement take place within God's church in Uganda. They want to see God-fearing, Christ-proclaiming churches rise up across the country and impact the whole of the Ugandan society. To reach out nationwide, they have the Ministry of Church Strengthening and the Shepherd's Training Center to thoroughly equip indigenous pastors. But without the consistent support of God's people, none of this is possible. If you can help support SOS Ministries, go to sosministries.com. sosministries.com. This is Wretched Radio. Hi, I'm Tony Verkennis. What a world. A federal judge in New York shot down a Trump administration regulation that protected the rights of pro-life healthcare workers. U.S. District Judge Paul Engelmeyer ruled that the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services exceeded its authority in crafting a rule that would have allowed medical workers to claim religious or moral exemptions to performing abortions or other procedures that violate their conscience. Engelmeyer based his rulings on the way HHS structured and planned to implement the regulation, but he denied an argument by plaintiffs that the allowance of conscience objections to participating in abortions amounted to a state establishment of religion. That does leave the door open for redrafting the rule to survive a court challenge. In Finland, a Christian politician recently interrogated at police headquarters in a hate speech investigation for sharing a Bible passage on social media. Päivi Räsänen is a member of the Finnish parliament. She's under investigation for committing a so-called hate crime after she posted a Bible verse aimed at Finland's state church for promoting the homosexual lifestyle. She talked with CBN News and said that in my tweet, I directly cited Romans 1st chapter verses 24 to 27 and posted the picture of the passage from the Bible. She said her purpose was to wake up the church in Finland. Leif Nimela, editor of a Christian newspaper and a TV host in Finland, told CBN he was very surprised to hear that she was under investigation. If convicted, the politician could face a fine or even jail time, but it's the precedent from this case that could affect every believer in Finland. He said she's worried that the case, the criminal investigation, could frighten Christians into hiding and keeping silent. Finland's attorney general has now opened a second investigation concerning a 24-page pamphlet that the politician wrote 15 years ago about biblical Christian marriage called Man and Woman, He Created Them. A bishop in Finland's state Lutheran church said that while he found this new charge against Räsänen worrying, he said, quote, I regard the writings of Päivi Räsänen wrong, harmful, and contrary to Christian charity. But only if you've so twisted scripture that you can't see what it says anymore. Speaking of twisting, a pro-choice organization initiated a social media debate this week. They have a new campaign that claims abortion is an act of love, selflessness. I kid you not. It's the Abortion Actuality Campaign by the National Women's Law Center, intended to, quote, reframe the conversation and fight back against the assault on abortion rights in our country. The post that started it all, abortion and the people who have them have been called a lot of things. But what is abortion actually? An act of love, an act of compassion, an act of healing, an act of selflessness, says the website.
No. No, abortion is simply murdering your unborn baby. More Wretched Radio straight ahead. I'm Tony Verkennis.
Attributes of God. Aseity is the word for God's self-existence. Nobody made God. God is the unmoved mover who causes all other things to be. All things depend on God for their continued existence. God does not need his creation. He chose to create us to glorify him and enjoy him forever. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
A whole new radio show. A sleek, fantastic point of view.
You know what you said earlier about your singing?
What? It works. This is Wretched Radio. That's not the way the church works, based on what appears to work. We do church based on what King Jesus commands. I can only imagine the view of a pastor who thinks that it is appropriate on Sunday morning to dress up in a costume and sing a solo that is profoundly unkind to attract people and amuse people so that, hey, I can just sneak in a little truth. Wow. And people, I'm telling you, they are hurting. You're probably hurting. You don't have stuff going on in your life right now? Praise God for that. Enjoy it. Because there's going to be stuff. There is sin everywhere. You've got no tension going on in relationships. No issues. Nobody's betrayed you lately? Great. It's just a matter of time. A friend didn't stab you in the back ever? Happens all the time. Prodigal kids all over the place. And people are hurting, and they need something supernatural. They don't need knockoffs of entertainment vehicles and shows and things that maybe get eyeballs on YouTube videos. That's not the church. Have we forgotten how lofty our King is? And have we forgotten how downtrodden the people are? I'm telling you, people are hurting. There's another bag of emails that I regularly get. The kids. They train them up, and the kids are gone, and they won't talk to them, and they hate their parents. Dennis Prager, who hosts a talk show, and he's not a Christian. He's Jewish, sort of. He talks about this everywhere he goes. He said he's never seen a phenomenon like this. The kids that won't talk to the parents. It's an epidemic out there. And these parents now are going to show up at a church without their kids and hear a pastor singing an Aladdin song off pitch and it was rewritten. A whole new world, because heaven is really super chill. You'll have a real good time. There won't be whining when you go to heaven, because it's going to be really cool. Yeah, that's the balm that hurting hearts need. By the way, if you've got a child who won't talk to you, may I encourage you to consider doing something? This is going to sound silly, and be careful that you mind your motive on this if you choose to apply what I'm going to suggest to you right now. But if you have a prodigal child, Let me preamble this before I fire the gun. This is not to suggest that you are the cause for your child's prodigal decisions, okay? I am not trying to imply that you are the reason that your child is not talking to you, that you're the guilty party. When the gavel comes down, you're the guilty one. You caused the kid to be disobedient, naughty, rebellious, run off, and never talk to you. I'm not suggesting that, okay? Point number two, before I aim and fire. Can we agree, Mom and Dad, can we agree that through the years, as hard as you strived to be a great Christian parent, you sinned? We can agree on that, right? That you did things that were a sin against your child. Now, I'm not asking you to put those sins onto a scale and weigh who had more sins. Not asking you to do that. I'm not asking you to weigh who had the greater sins. I would simply invite you to do a self-examination and ask, have I committed sins against my child? Whatever they were, sharp tongue, angry words, frustration that was ungodly, saying things to them about them, not being fair and balanced in your judicial system with them, showing favoritism. There's a million ways that we can annoy our kids. In fact, hold on, just to help us in this endeavor. Hold on.
No,
I moved it. I moved a stat. I had my list from Lou Priolo. The ways that we can anger and annoy our kids, the list, it just goes, you'll feel like a speed bag. You can annoy your kids in a thousand different ways that you aren't even aware of, and maybe not even intentional, but you do. I've got to do this. And you just kind of snub them, and you hurt them. And I do it, and you do it. We all do it. Whether intentional or not, we've hurt our kids a lot. And I'm not calling you a bad parent. I'm calling you a sinner. And we agree that you and I are, because that does come with the label Christian. That if anything is easy for us to confess, it should be that I sin. Now, it does get harder to say I sin against my kids, but I'm going to ask you to consider that you do that. And now, whatever the mechanism was, whatever the big blow-up was, whatever their sexual proclivity, their lifestyle decisions, I'm not saying you're responsible for that, okay? But you have sinned against them, and now they're not talking to you. And I'll bet your heart is broken. Maybe you went through phases, but I'll bet your heart overall is just grieved. I mean, think back. You held that little boy, that little girl, sniffed him. Love sniffing my kids. I still like to sniff my kids. I know it's weird. So I try to do it subtly. This morning, I saw my eldest daughter. I sniffed her head. I'll be honest with you. Go ahead. You can just go ahead and make fun of me if you want to. They're my kids. And I adore them. And I've hurt them a lot. And I don't even know all the ways, but it did. So have you. And you're hurt. And you're wondering what could be done to heal it. I cannot give you a money-back guarantee on this, but even if it doesn't end up in a peaceable fruit, I think it's still the right thing to do. Could you reach out to them with no other intention but to repent to your child? Could you do that? Could you call them? Try to talk to them and repent to them? And if they won't pick up the phone, leave a voicemail. They won't respond to your text. Send them a letter, a handwritten letter to show your earnestness. Could you do that? Now, I'm not asking you to take the blame and the fall for everything. I'm asking you to repent to your child who is wayward and who is angry at you and won't talk to you. This is Christianity. This isn't parenting tip. This is our faith, which should allow us to do this. And I recognize it is not easy. Trust me, I know, because I've done it. And it's not easy. It should be, but it's not. After all, that's why we're Christians. We identify with being a sinner. And yet sometimes with our kids especially and with our spouses especially, it's very difficult to admit that you've done wrong things, bad things, and things that were hurtful. And yet the very label Christian should give us permission to do that. Besides, they know. Reach out to them. Give it a go. I know a fellow who just did that. Angry child, rebellious child, sent a text saying, I'm sorry for the ways that I've hurt you. Hadn't talked to the child for years. He got off the phone with his child 2 hours later, catching up with his boy because he'd repented to his child. That was it. I can't promise you that that will work that magically for you, but it's the right thing to do. And I'm telling you, I've seen it repeatedly, and I've seen it in my own life. If you think I'm pointing my finger at you like you're a terrible parent, I have done very bad things to my kids that hurt them profoundly. And when I was able to gulp, summon up, and I'm sorry for everything, I saw the healing power. And I need, you know what? When we're done today, I'm going to go do it again and remind them that I'm sorry for the ways that I've sinned against my kids. And I'm just suggesting, if you can do that with your prodigal child, no agenda, right motive, not because, hey, this could work. Hey, this could work. And then, fill in the blank, I can witness to them. Then, maybe they'll get saved. Then, I can tell them about all the bad things they did. Then, they can apologize. Reach out and repent. And might I suggest, if it doesn't work after the first text, how's about you bombard them with apologies? How's about you send them a gift with a handwritten letter that says, I am so sorry. I've wounded you, and I'm sorry. And even if you never speak to me again, I just want you to know I recognize my sins against you, and I would do anything to take it back. I'm sorry. And I'm telling you, you watch God. Use your Christian-informed humility to repair your relationships, even with your wayward prodigal child. A double dog dare ya. This is Wretched Radio.
Well, Geneva was married, but in her 20s, she had a one-year-old daughter at home that would interfere with her plans to go back to school, and so she was hoping she wasn't pregnant, but she was. I asked her how she felt about her pregnancy. She said, I don't want it, and my husband doesn't want it. She agreed to do an ultrasound, and she didn't want to take any pictures of the ultrasound, but she did look at it for a long time. And so we put it in the file, and then we started walking out of the clinic with her, and she turns to the nurse, and she says, do you have any referrals for medical providers? And I said, yeah, we've got a good doctor. You can go see him. Well, she went to him, and she chose life.
Ultrasounds save lives. Would you please consider supporting preborn.org, providing free ultrasounds, and presenting the gospel to moms and dads, $28 per ultrasound. How many could you support each month? Please support Preborn at preborn.org/wretched.
Without sounding too much like a mafia don, here's an offer you can't refuse. Wretched would like to give you up to 20 copies of our evangelistic booklet, What Time is Purple? And Other Intriguing Questions on the Road Trip to Truth. You heard me right. We want to give you these beautiful, thorough gospel booklets. But there are two strings attached. Well, really tiny strings, more like fishing line. Actually, thread would be better. You pay for shipping only, and you promise to give them away to the atheist or agnostic in your life who believes that evolution disproves the existence of God. Go to wretched.org/purple today and get your copies of What Time is Purple. It's also a great idea for the student in your life who's heading off to school or anyone who doubts that the Bible is true. Get your copies of What Time is Purple at wretched.org/purple. And thanks very much to the generosity of our gospel partners who make this giveaway possible.
Tempted, but I'm not gonna do it.
Some churches in the rural areas in Zimbabwe, you get a church with about 200 members. You only find one person with one Bible.
So tempted to say, you know, for just the cost of a cup of coffee. But I'm not gonna do that, but we could change that statistic. There are churches all over the globe. 200 people attending a church with one Bible. $5 will purchase a new Bible for a believer. Bible League International, historically proficient, sound, reliable. Let's get some Bibles into the hands of believers so they don't have to be sharing paragraphs until the next service. Please support Bible League International, wretched.org/Bible.
Revelation. General revelation is God's act of making himself known through his creation. A part of general revelation is the sensus divinatus, a sense of the divine.
God has given every person an undeniable awareness of his existence. There are no true atheists, only rebels in denial of what every person knows to be true. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Now that we've taken our little detour, let's get to church news, shall we? Friel, that was a detour. Some detours are longer than others. Sometimes you have to go a long way to get back to the... Let's get to it, shall we? This is a Wretched Radio. Perhaps you've seen this. A lot of people sent this to idea@wretched.org. It's called... Here's the headline from the Anglican Journal. This is from the Anglican Journal. You should know this is the Hymn Society in the United States and Canada released a new hymn collection, Songs for the Holy Other, Hymns Affirming the... I'm just reading it, LGBTQIA2S+ community. What do we do with this? Might I suggest you just get ready for more? That's all. Just get ready for more. If you're wondering how bad it can get in the church, take a look at Corinth and you get a little taste of it. You get a little glimpse of it. When orthodoxy is abandoned, the floodgates are open and it will just come pouring in. Now, what's happening here? Why this effort for so many people in this particular community? It's growing. I think it was my wife just told me that a movie theater will no longer say "ladies and gentlemen." I don't know if it's their movie announcement or whatever, because they receive pressure that that's too exclusionary of the LGBTQIA2S+ community. Why do people want this in the church? It's a conscience issue. It is a conscience issue. And to me, this is actually, while what they're doing, of course, we all gasp at, nevertheless, it tells me consciences are still firing to a degree, because they're looking to somehow deal with the heaviness that is still inside of them, regardless of social acceptance. There's a recognition they don't have acceptance from God. So what do? You try to change the definition of God. You try to change what the Bible teaches, what the church stands for, so that you don't have to feel so guilty or shameful, or just something is off because something is off. So to me, while we look at this and go, oh, wow, this is 50 queer hymns by and for individuals who identify with the LGB, etc. community and their allies. Expect to see more of this, but might I suggest maybe, just maybe, bringing the message that says if you are feeling guilty and you would like to actually have your guilt removed, got a better idea. You can try to redefine God all you want, but it is not going to make that feeling go away, because the true God has a better solution for you. Repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and complete forgiveness of sins. Not just sexual sins, by the way. Always need to be careful when somebody is dealing with a big sin. People at pro-life clinics have to deal with this. That when somebody comes in and they're experiencing difficulties and challenges in life, or they're feeling profound guilt from having had an abortion or considering an abortion, and so often the cycle, it repeats itself, and women have 3.7 abortions in their lifetime, that you don't make the gospel just about, hey, your abortion sin can be forgiven. We've got to be careful about that. Now, that might be the sin that God is using to bring them to repentance. But we want to make sure that as we present the gospel with somebody who is hurting because of a particular sinful lifestyle choice, that we don't just make the gospel about that sin. We make it about all sins. And that should be our message to people who are dealing with sexual issues, with abortion issues, with drug, whatever it is. Better than trying to somehow make yourself feel better. The real solution is the real God. And by the way, if I could, that also has to do in the realm of people who are struggling with emotional issues. I was pondering this, that people do a lot of things to try to cope emotionally, don't they? Last night, Mrs. Friel and I stopped and split a sandwich. You know, this is America. I just got to tell you, we are in America. we were at the grocery store. We had to pick up a couple of items that we were short on. We stop at the grocery store, and I don't know if you've ever been overseas, especially to Eastern Europe. You go into a, quote, grocery store, it's probably about as big as one of the bedrooms in your house, and it's packed with, like, the bare essential stuff. Those people walk into an American grocery store, and they're like, what? Aisle after aisle after aisle. Do you know how many different choices of Raisin Bran there are? I know, because we were picking up a box of cereal last night. There's a lot of Raisin Bran out there. You got it with cranberries, you got it with raisins, you got it with sugar-coated raisins, you got it with crispy raisins that are coated with, and you got some with almonds. The choices that we've got. This is so pathetic. Mrs. Friel and I wandering through the grocery store, kind of late, we missed dinner, and suddenly we realized, you know, we're kind of hungry, and it's probably not really wise to only eat one meal today. What do you want? I don't know. What do you want? I don't know. Is there anything here? We are in a grocery store with 50 aisles of food with literally thousands of products, and we concluded there was nothing there for us to eat for dinner. Man, this is America.
Been there, done that.
Haven't we all done that?
Is pizza rolls?
Right. They're spinning food on a rack. Whatever. So American. So we actually stopped and split a sandwich at a place. And there was, right next to our table, there was a wine thing, a cooler, chiller, whatever they call it, the wine cooler. But what are they, bottles of wine. We get it for real. And it was also half off wine day at this particular restaurant. And just pondering how people use alcohol to numb and to dull. And we're just talking about, you know, how can people drink weekday like that and then get up for work the next day? And just kind of thinking it through. And then we realize, you know, when you're kind of in that alcohol world, it's more than just consuming alcohol. It's kind of a culture. So there's more things. So you've got the accoutrements that you need. You go into the liquor store and that experience that they try to make all cool for you. And they've got little tastings. And then and you can take trips. And so it becomes more than just the consumption of, like, a bowl of Raisin Bran. It's kind of a whole thing that becomes a part of your life. And that is something that you use then to kind of, like, make the end of the day better because it's been really rough today. Then started thinking about some of the other ways that we do that. Some people, they'll use, for instance, pornography. It's their escape. Some people use drugs. That's their escape. Some, whether they're prescriptions or they are illegal drugs, they use those to simply escape. Some people use video games. Some people just sit on the couch. They'll eat a lot of food and they'll watch a lot of TV because that's their escape. Some people, now please note, I'm not suggesting for a second that you don't ever utilize any of those other things that I was talking about. That's not the point of this little diatribe, especially regarding emotional, the dogs that are the emotional,
support dogs.
Emotional support dogs. They go with you wherever you go. And here's the deal. They work. They do. There's something about dogs that just, it calms you, people who have dealt with perhaps PTSD, and they work. And I'm not suggesting for a second you should get rid of your dog. That's not my point. But here is my point. Those things, whether sinful or not, they work. They work to a degree. They work. They numb or they dull or they distract, at least for a season. And people utilize those mechanisms to feel better about life. And I get that. Question. Is God more powerful than a dog? Is God more powerful than food, than cable TV, than wine or beer or whatever? Is God more powerful than golf? And you go, well, yeah, absolutely. All of those things we utilize to calm our jangled nerves or our emotional troubles. And I'm not saying that all of them are bad things, but what I am saying is God wants to be the one who calms our nerves. God wants to be the one who plays the role of the emotional support dog. God wants to be the one who takes the place of those tools that can be used just fine, thank you, But he ultimately wants to be the one, and he can do it. He can. If you think an emotional support dog works, and it does, how much more so the omnipotent God who loves you and wants to give you hope and wants to give you joy through the proclamation of his word. So often, even as believers, we can look for things that help us to cope and deal with life. And I am, again, not saying that any of those things are necessarily bad. And you can utilize those tools as blessings, but only until you can segue to relying fully on your God as revealed in the word to be your balm, to be your comfort, to be your healing, to be your hope, to be your peace, to be your joy, to be your everything. And so if that's you, my encouragement would be don't throw everything away. Don't get rid of your dog, but start moving toward the greater emotional support system. And that is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who wants to heal you, help you, and make you whole. And trust me, he has the power to do it. More powerful than video games. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.